the disobedient, for the ungodly, those that would not think that God is not even there or God has not spoken. The law is for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. And understand that, young people especially understand this today. Someone, the folks that are in the penitentiary today for murder, they didn't get there by just starting out one day and deciding to murder. They got there by a line and string and a life of disobedience, willfulness, and sin. It started off small in their minds, and it ended up with murder, just as one example. Murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. The law is for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. That means those that are faced with telling the truth and they don't. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So, and verse 11 goes on to say, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and Paul writing here to Brother Timothy. So, sin is contrary to the sound teaching of the Lord, and the law of God is given, not for the obedient, but for us to know the line of disobedience, and for the disobedient that they might be dealt with. So that's just in a few words and a couple verses to help us to understand the purpose of the law of God. So now let's deal with this weightier matters of the law, judgment. What is it that the Lord is getting at there? How is it that it applies to us? Well, if you have a law at hand, a command at hand, it's understood, is it not, that there's going to be some judgment that comes along with that. You obey that. You stay over here on the side of obedience, not crossing it, not transgressing it. There's no issue. But if you do, then there's going to be something that's going to come about. Judgment comes with the law. And entering judgment, it is understood that there will be a penalty. How is it that there would be a judgment, a discernment, a calling on the carpet for disobedience if there would not be a penalty for the transgression of the law? These things go hand in hand. It's a progression that is at hand. They are all connected. Don't disobey the law, you don't have any problem with the authorities. Disobey the law, then you have problems with the authorities, and there's penalty for that if it's so. And understand that God is not like us in our legal system, where we've got to find out if the accused is guilty. Listen, everybody listen. He knows all about everyone, right down to our hearts. He knows us all. And so in this, the truth does enter in, doesn't it? The truth enters in judgment, and God is not looking for any kind of false or lying or untrue thing regarding sin and judgment and any penalty at hand. But the Lord is always looking for truth. The truth is particularly important with God, isn't it? If he's going to be worshipped, he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. The truth is an aspect of God that I believe he'll make us all, every person, to understand and know the truth in the end of this world and in eternity. The truth will be known. And he proclaims the truth even now. In regards to this of judgment, the first command came to Adam with a promise of great consequence, did it not? I mean, that first, when God told Adam, do not eat of the tree. Okay, so there was the command, there was the law. In the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And Adam didn't fully understand the ramifications of that, but that death has come all the way down here to you and me some 6,000 years later. And so the first command to our father Adam, it came with a promise of great consequence. See, in this of judgment, the threefold holiness of God requires judgment for sins and payment for sins. He just sin against him cannot pass. It can't be like we are with our children. Oh, that's okay. Just don't do it again. It can't be that way. His holiness requires it to be dealt with and for it to be just and for it to be right, for the truth to be upheld, for his holiness to be requited and dealt with. It can only be that way. His holiness requires judgment and therefore the penalty that goes along with it. God is watching. And know that he is watching, and we are accountable to him in every way and every day and moment of our lives. And his record does not have gaps in it. His ability to keep track of everyone is not thwarted in any way or overwhelmed in any way. He knows. And you know what? We kind of think that might be bad news. But Brother Doug, in his lesson this morning, he touched upon it. In the end, it's really good news. That God cares. That he's just not ambivalent. Let us go in our own way and go on. But his holiness is at hand. He is active in his creation. And every whit of it. And we'll see, the Lord didn't just say judgment, but he said some other things along with it. See, in Romans 6:23, we all know this verse, for the wages of sin is death. The payday of sin is death. God said it. You and I need to know that it's so, and everybody that you've ever seen laying in a casket, it's because of sin. Now, I'm not saying or accusing them of some great lewd wickedness that brought their immediate death, but sin at the very least, for every individual that has been seen lying in a casket, they are there because they are sinners and they have sinned against God. It's what's happened to, at the very least, to our flesh. Also, there is this of the soul. And at the wages of sin for the soul is death. And that will be reckoned when the life is taken from the body, or the soul is taken from the body and goes back to God who gave it, as Brother Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes. And so judgment has a penalty. God is the judge and knows all things. Truth is going to be at hand always in that. And sinning against God brings certain death. Just like Adam, Lord told Adam in the beginning, you disobey me, you'll surely die. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, and just kind of a side note to this, and God being involved in his creation and working the miraculous thing that he is able to work, to do the impossible for the sake of sinners, for the sake of his people. I'm reminded of this verse in Genesis 3:22. After Adam had sinned and woman had sinned and God had told the curse that would be upon Satan and the snake and upon Adam and upon the woman. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. It would be terrible for us in this fallen, sinful condition to live forever right here. There would be no end to it. Now, I know and understand about how it is that hell is the next step in regards to not living here for those unrepentant and unbelieving. But if mankind would have been able to eat of that tree of life perpetually, there would be no end to sin. There would be no final judgment, which the Lord's holiness requires. And can you imagine the likes of Adam living yet today, some thousands of years later, and the effects and the corruption of sin upon his mortal flesh? That would just be, that would be terrible, 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 wouldn't it? So praise God that he is involved in his creation and that he knows best. The scripture says also in Romans chapter 7, verses 12 through 13, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. Talking about the law. But sin that it might appear sin. Again, the purpose of the law of God, that we might really see our sin and our transgression and who it is against. Don't block this out. This is needful for all of us. Sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The law of God is for us to see how bad our sin is. It is not a way of salvation. Some think that it is. It is not. But it is, as we'll see, it is a teacher. And because of this exceeding sin, there is judgment. In chapter 3 of Romans, in verse number 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. We're guilty. Even me, Brother Jim, I'm just a young, tender age, maybe not even 10 years old. Yes, you're guilty. You're guilty before God. And so, this judgment, it's required by God's holiness. It is upon sin. And this law is given unto us that we might know it. Can you imagine just living and never knowing? And then come to the end of life and be dealt with by God in your sin, never knowing. So the Lord said that there's weightier matters of law, and the first of these is judgment. And the law is given unto us that we might know our sin, and because of sin we will be judged. But because of him, and Brother Doug in his lesson this morning, he touched upon this, because of God and all that he is, and every attribute whole and complete in themselves in him, he has done the impossible for sinners. So even in this of judgment, the weightier matters of the law, God is at work. Then we come next to what the Lord said, or what the Lord Jesus says here about the weightier matters of the law, and that is of mercy. And you know, I was thinking about this, the law given by God to Israel was full of mercy, wasn't it? Think about it. I've never thought about it in this way. Think about how it was. Every transgression of the law, if we understand really what sin against God is, every transgression is worthy of death. Okay? The wages of sin is death. And sin is the transgression of the law. So when the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, if we didn't, we'd be worthy of death. If he said, when he said, don't bear false witness, and when we lied, in whatever aspect, We'd be worthy of death. And stealing and so on, and what the Lord tells us about our hearts and how in the factory of sin, in our hearts, where everything starts, we're guilty before God even if we don't even do anything. But the law of God to Israel and the law of God given to Israel was full of mercy, wasn't it? Every transgression worthy of death. But all through the law, God provided a means for atonement. Provided a means for redemption. Now, I'm not saying that there was salvation in that. We've got to, you know, feel like we need to qualify that. But as he gave it to Israel, he said, if you trespass, go and offer this. If you sin willfully and you're called on it by the Spirit of God, and that's how the Lord worked in conviction, then go and offer the trespass. You know, I mentioned that, I think it was Wednesday. Everybody that showed up at the tabernacle of the temple with the sacrifice was admitting that they were guilty. And then if you had even more than just the annual stuff that was required of you and your family, you were really admitting that you were guilty, because I've got a trespass offering. I've got a sin of ignorance offering. I've got this kind of offering that I need to offer. And so they were repentant in that. And so all through the law God provided, given to Israel, a means for atonement, for redemption, for willful sins, for mistake sins. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to hurt my brother. For ignorant sins. There are some sins in the law that require death as the immediate penalty, but most were, in the sense of the law, forgivable by an offering, the offering prescribed, and that the sacrifice. Now again, we know that those did not forgive them, but it was what was given to Israel and in obedience for that time, because all of these things pointed to Christ. The annual atonement. And we talk about that and how it rolled back the sins of the people every year. Hebrews speaks to us about that, about how there's a remembrance of sins every year. The high priest went in and said, 359 days later, I'm going to have to come back into this place. But Christ is the one that's the answer of that. Our Lord was merciful in the law. And you know what? He was long-suffering with the law given to them too, wasn't he? He was long-suffering with them for years and for centuries to give them an opportunity over the decades and the centuries to get it right. Was he not? But they didn't. They didn't. And there's a subject related to that that's a subject for another time. Brother Doug mentioned it this morning, Malachi 3:6. In this of judgment, of the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, the law filled with mercy and its content and the order given, the prescribed sacrifices for different faults and different sins that they could bring and be relieved of that, and the design of that, all of that pointing to Christ, we now know. He says there in Malachi, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He was long-suffering, wasn't he? He was merciful, even in the law. Pointing us to, if you will, the great mercy that is afforded us through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Lord told them this from the beginning in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and the third and to the fourth generation.'" The weightier matters of the law, judgment, and mercy. See, Hebrews 10 tells us that these sacrifices couldn't do anything. But the Scripture says this in Hebrews 10, verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because of the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of the sins." If those sacrifices would have really done the trick, and they should have offered them, and they did with the understanding what had been revealed to that point. But when we get down and analyze it, and that annual atonement spoke to it, they had to come back every year. And so they knew that it only took care of it for the year. And true detailed analysis of it would say it didn't do it forever, did it? Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. Verse 10, listen. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So the Lord, even in the law, was merciful, showing this picture of what was to come in Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, you guys have left that off. The real thing that is needed by the children of Israel and by sinners, judgment and mercy. I read to you Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death," but that verse goes on, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I repeat, as I did regarding judgment, because of him and all that he is, every attribute whole and complete in themselves of our Lord, he has done the impossible for sinners. See why it was so important that they not leave off judgment, mercy, and faith? Because they are what the children of Israel needed. They are what sinners need. Weightier matters of the law. So then we come to the last: judgment, mercy, and faith. The law, there being a law, there certainly will be judgment for the transgressor. And if judgment is brought forth, certainly there will be a penalty for those found guilty. Mercy abounds in our Lord, and he loves to be merciful. And by this law and what we've read in the Scriptures showing that the purpose of it was to show us our sin and to show us our guilt before God, to show us our great need, to show us that there is nothing we can do ourselves to find remedy for our sin and our guilt before God. The law of God given to the children of Israel for them to obey, it couldn't do it. And it was given by God. They didn't cook it up on their own. The weightier matter of the law, judgment, weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and that's the purpose that we might be led to faith. judgment and mercy lead to this of faith, that you would believe that God does exist, that He's spoken from heaven to you, that you would believe that He has created you, that you would believe that you are accountable to Him, that you would believe that you have broken His law and thereby sinned against Him in ways you know and in ways you do not know. It's a weightier matter of the law. That you would believe, the purpose of it would, is that you would believe that you are guilty before Him with no excuse. That you would believe that you have nothing by which you can pay for your sins. Faith. This is the purpose of God's law, to teach you and me these things. Now, the weightier matter of the law, that is faith, says this: if you do believe these things are the truth about you and God, and if you can repent before Him that you are guilty with no hope and can believe with all your heart that Jesus became a man, lived, suffered, bled, died, and rose from the grave for you, you can be saved today. We can understand why the Lord was so angry with the leadership. They were sitting there in Moses' seat to teach and to instruct and to seek the sheep and to tend to the sheep of the Lord. No wonder He would be so angry with them, because instead what they did is they just looked to serve themselves of the people and of the nation. He said, "Oh, you're real good about tithing even down to the herbs that grow out back in the backyard. But that won't save a soul." And you left off the things that lead unto salvation: judgment, mercy, and faith. See, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 say, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ." And so, teaching about tithing, even down to the herbs, won't ever lead a person to Christ. But teaching about judgment, about mercy, and about faith, it brings the message and does indeed lead unto Christ. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, that is, faith in Him. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So the law was important, is important, isn't it? And it has some weightier matters that are very, very important. As Jesus told the Apostle Paul in his calling upon him, that He was going to send him into the Gentiles, and He declares in Acts 26, verse number 18, "For the purpose of to open their eyes," this is Jesus speaking, "and to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and by Him inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in Me." Jesus' words. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Isn't the design and work of our Lord marvelous? Isn't it wonderful to be able to see some about how He's able to work the impossible? the salvation of sinners. And how we, mankind, and the leadership in that day were so, they were so repulsed by what was essential and what was necessary. And that's telling about how sin, how bad sin and how bad depravity is. But praise be to God that He's shown us this truth. And if you're here and you're not saved, I pray that He speaks to your heart regarding it. See, Jesus said this in Matthew 9, verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy's right there in the middle, isn't it? Judgment, faith. He said, I'll have mercy. I don't, in regards to the law, I'm not looking for a calf or a bull or a goat or a sheep to be slaughtered and burned upon an altar unto me. I'm wanting mercy. Mercy extended unto sinners. For I am not come to call the righteous, but I am come to call sinners to repentance. The weightier matters of the law. May the Lord help us in a different way. You and I can become focused as members of one of the Lord's churches. We can become focused on things and put some things that we've been given as the children of God and His churches and doctrine to hold to. We can take them and put them in the wrong place too. But this is what sinners need. They need to hear about judgment. They need to hear about mercy. And they need to hear about faith. And may the Lord help us that be a good witness of these things unto those in, around us in our lives.